Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is human nature that we like to look at results. Admitting your child into a school, to a madrasa, and you're anxious to know the results, what's going to be the outcome. Your wife is in labor and you want to know what's the results. And sometimes the doctor is predetermining the results through whatever machines he's got. So it is our nature to know and to want to be anxious to see the results. Investing in a property, you want to see what's the outcome. An X-ray machine, a scanning machine or a scope, until you don't see the results, at the edge, what's going to be the result? Is it cancer? Tell me, what is it? How anxious the person is. And sometimes you just tell him, you know, it's cancerous. And then you just see that the man just goes into a lull, complete. You're such healthy, strong, moving, agile, and then you just use one word, and that one word just breaks the person down totally, complete. Doesn't it happen? So the effect that words can have. But what I'm getting at is that that's our nature, want to see results. What is the outcome? I did this, I want to see what's the outcome. I did this, what is the outcome? Chahe aise rahe, ya to vaise rahe, waha dekhna hai ki kaise rahe. Man can be boastful of himself. I'm like this, I have scored so much, and I won so much. All right, carry on. But it is to be seen that how do you fare there, on the day of Qiyamah, as you are lining up for your deeds to be scaled, and then how does it fare with you there? That's the thing to be seen. However you stay, however you lived, But the criteria is that, because that life is eternal. Yeah, whatever, high or low, but it's coming to an end. And over and above that, is not a criteria. And I say criteria, so the criteria is, sometimes we see that wealth, and we make a judgment, a past judgment, but the judgment is just on what meets the eye. Ask the man deep down the heart, does he really feel satisfaction and happiness? Many a times there's no happiness. But then the house is fine, it's dissatisfaction, swearing, abusing, insulting. Everything is carrying on. But he has to put up a good front, because in the eyes of people he's got a lot. So he has to put up a good front. But does he feel a lot of good in him? He has to show a lot, right? But does he feel a lot of good within him? It's a different thing. So when Allah made us like that, so He also guided us, all right, what you must do to have your results good, to have a good outcome, to have a good ending. So Allah Ta'ala will show you. Now man, everywhere and anywhere, he wants to apply his reason. He doesn't want to go with Allah Ta'ala, he wants to go with his reasoning. So in his reasoning, sometimes he'll say, نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُؤَذَّبِينَ وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. I want so much of wealth, children, support, influence, affluence. So if there is a thing like Qiyamat, I will go very well. Because I've been blessed here, so all the more I'll be blessed here. And if Allah Ta'ala didn't bless me, you think I would have had this wealth here. So that means I'm a blessed person, so I'll be blessed there as well. So now this is how he reasons. نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. But yes, this is a burning question within our minds. Okay, how do we work it out and be going on the right? So there must be some idea, some indication In fact, something conclusive in the Quran or the Hadith, or this is an indication that you're going right. The Jews also said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. The Jews took it like a family thing, that we got exclusive rights with the family. Come from this lineage, so we got it. And the Christians, they felt, no, well, Christ did everything for us. He went to the cross for us, so now we got a license to do everything. So they went on a lineage thing, and they went on a permissive path of permissiveness. And here, on the path of lineage. So you have to be of that lineage, then you'll be seen right. And here, you have to subscribe to this belief that he died for your sins. Then you got everything right. Everything, 100% you got. Then you're moving, you're flying. So, man applied his reasoning to the court of Allah Ta'ala. Does it ever work? Can you apply your reasoning in this worldly courts? You can't. You have to follow a certain criteria. A certain criteria has to be followed. Right. So this last Thursday, so we had to go to Mhawik. So there was a mulaqat that Mehman told us, a host told us we have to go meet on mulaqat. Perhaps that person had invited us. So we went up to meet one old Desai Chacha. Maybe he was a Mulana, Kari's post. One house, no other Muslim homes, no homes at all outside. He's one home living. So it reminds you of that hadith, you know. Ayun nasi afdalu, which people are the best? So one mujahidun yujahidu fi sabilillahi bi malihi wa nafsihi. The one that strives in the path of Allah Ta'ala with his wealth and his person. And who else? Who is also the best person? So the other best person is يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فِي شِعْبٍ مِنَ الشِّعَابِ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَيَدَعَ النَّاسَ مِنْ شَرِّهِ. So the other best person is that he separated himself according to one value or something, and he's fearing Allah Ta'ala, that means he's listening to Allah Ta'ala, and he protects people from his wrongs. He doesn't harm anybody. So you must understand that you're one of two categories. One is you can mix and you will still observe. Deen will be the highest thing that will prevail in your mind. Right? If you are mixing with people, and you're mixing with people, why? For the preservation or for the promotion of deen. That's why you are living amongst people. So that means deen must permeate you, must prevail over you. Deen must be the highest thing within you. Right? If it is the main concern, then this will be your fikr, this will be your target, this will be your goal. So that is the first class. And also this first class also is that person who has isolated himself because he's seeing now what's going on. When he sees what's going on, he knows now he won't be able to restrain himself. He'll get into an argument, into a fight, into something indecent, something illicit, some haram will get involved. Seeing what he's got and what I've got, I'm comparing myself against him, and I must get involved. So he says, no, I won't be able to resist. I want more wealth, a woman, or something I want. Right? Maybe the halal way, or not even the halal way, but I'll want it. I won't be able to resist myself. So he says, no, when I don't have the level of resistance, then let me go and isolate myself, and I'll do my own thing. So this man, perhaps he's chosen that life, that he'll go on his own, live in the woods, nobody around, and he won't be in anybody's way, and nobody is in his way. So no sin. So whilst we were there now, so I asked him about something about his past, his history. Old people, it's nice to learn something. What lessons we can draw from them? Something what you learned in your life now, maybe it's nearly 80 or something. So can you teach something? Teach us something. So he says around the 70s or so, he had gone to America, L.A., to recite the Taraweeh there. So perhaps outside the masjid there must have been a small yard or a garden, he was strolling around. And at the distance he saw some caravan, and then he sees one Tunisian or Moroccan. So the Moroccan must have been a worker, right? And then he sees a well-built black person, very well-built, strong. So now, the black person is this Moroccan's boss, right? So anyway, he got talking, this Chacha, his Molana, got talking with the Moroccan. The Moroccan discovered he came to perform Taraweeh. So that means he must be a Hafiz. Now in the 70s now, at that time, even Durban didn't have enough Hafizes. Early 70s, 70, 71. People called from Cape Town, etc. So you can imagine what must be the condition there in America. So anyway, whilst he's strolling around, so now this Moroccan must have let the boss know that this person is a Hafiz. So anyway, the boss said, "Wait, read some Quran Sharif." So he read some Quran Sharif. In a few moments he knew, it was mentioned to him that this person that you see, this is Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. So now, I was following this person. Chacha is telling me I was following. So exactly like I saw him, wherever I saw him, but he was the same person. Identical. Anyway, everything happened. He asked us to come into the caravan. So we went into the caravan. So he's giving the whole picture of the caravan. There were seats on both sides, both ends. In between was perhaps a table or something. And so he'll take dollars. So before he knew anything, and he took out $300 and he offered it to this Mawlana. So the Mawlana understood, not perhaps I read some Quran Sharif or whatever, and therefore as a token he's giving it to me. So he received the 300. And they discuss some things, whatever. And as Mawlana is leaving, so Mawlana took out the 300 and returned it to this Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. When he returned the money, Muhammad Ali rolled up his sleeves. So he's telling that Muhammad Ali Clay, "I can eat your money, but I can take your money, but I can't take your hiding. I'd rather take your hiding. I'd rather take your money than taking your hiding. Because one shot is enough for me." But I learned something else from this. This was this Chacha what he told us, right? I learned something else from this. Sabak I learned. Kunu ansar Allah, in tansurullah yansurkum. Your fikr, your concern, your whole outlook must be for Allah Ta'ala. Whether you're reading Taraweeh here, there, whichever part of the world, you're going for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But be pure. And let your work be dedicated to Allah Ta'ala alone. No name, no recognition, no competition either. He's doing this, I must overtake him. He is so recognized. And he's so popular, I must become even more popular than him. So leave all these false intentions aside, and just be for Allah Ta'ala. Now if you're going to be just for Allah Ta'ala, then he'll take care. And how he'll take care, is you won't want it, but he'll give it to you. You won't want it, but he'll make sure he'll give it to you. Then it is a relationship of love. And I think all of us practice it, right? When we were small, right? And you were not feeling too well, so your mother or your father must have forced a medication, right? And you were making a noise at the beginning. What they did? They took a well on one side, said, "You better drink this, Nito, you catch it." Doesn't it happen? But can you say that the mother was doing this out of hatred? She was doing it because she hates the child. No, she did it out of love. She knows that this is what is the right thing for this child. But the child now doesn't want to take that bit of medication. Give him a toffee, he's going to take it. But this medication is not going to take it. So she'll just pull out that well and she'll just show it. And they say, "No, Mom, I'll take it." Does it happen? So Allah Pak says the same. "You be for me and I will make sure that you get it. Nobody will stop me. I will make sure that you get it." Amir ibn Qais radiallahu anhu, he says, "When I get up in the morning, then I recite 4 verses of the Quran Sharif. Thereafter, whatever happens, I'm not concerned. It's not my concern. I'm totally, my mind is off of everything, of the whole world. I just recite 4 verses at the start of the day. The first verse that I recite, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. What Allah Ta'ala grants, nobody can stop. And what He stops, nobody can give. Why? He is exalted in might and full of wisdom. He gave someone more and someone less. Why he did that? Don't worry. You don't ask it. You just be appreciative, take what he's given you. But why he's given more to someone and why he's given less to someone else, that's not your business. Because that's not your world. He's administering and he's controlling the world. He knows why. He gives someone more, someone less. And he gives more and less in various things. Someone has got a better voice, right? Someone's got a better look. Someone's got a better height. Someone's got a better physique and a body, right? Someone has got better strength. Someone is more intelligent. Someone is more capable in oration, right? Someone is less. So why Allah Pak has given to who what He's given, that's not your business. It's His plan, His design. He's given someone more, someone less, someone average, someone little less than average, someone more than average, He's given it. So you don't worry about that. Don't concern yourself about that. Now all your fights, your disputes, your problems, your agony and grief is because of this. Why He's got so much and why have I got so much? That's your whole problem, your whole dispute, your whole fight, right? That's not your business. What's your business then? Your business at all time is قَدَ فَلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Keep your heart clean. That's not your business. Why I gave him so much and why have I got so less? That's not your business. So don't take it as your business. You're taking your business as your business, you're going wrong. You're going on the wrong course. Yes, your business is definitely to keep your heart clean. So one youngster is telling me, you know, I try to keep my heart clean, but everything must get messed up, you know. I must get messed up. Reading something, a little bit of Arabic, so I get messed up, confused, all type of doubts and all type of thoughts come to me. So I gave him two answers. I said, see, when you get confusing thoughts, right, it's either about people. If it's about people, then you don't try to fight the thoughts. That's a secret when you are working with thoughts, right? When your mind is being crowded with thoughts, about people, for example. So you don't fight those thoughts. Don't ever fight the thoughts. Because the thoughts are like a dog. See, shaitan is like a dog that's putting whispers into your mind. And it's exactly like a dog. If the dog is barking and you try and attack it, what's going to happen? It'll become more fierce. So that's not the way. Your way is just do your work, go calmly, cool, calm, and you turn your attention. To who you turn your attention? To the creator of the dog. To the boss. You turn your attention to the boss. To the boss, you know, I want to come to you, but this thing is an impediment. It's becoming a blockage on the road. So please help me. That's what you'll tell the boss, won't you? So in your case, you will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, you know, these things are all ganging up against me, and I'm not in control, Allah, you take care of me. I'll tell you, guaranteed in 2 minutes, it'll be cleared up. All you need to do is beg Allah Ta'ala, but I can't control, I can't look after myself, I'm helpless. Without you, I'm not even a kebab at least is of some good. I'm not even that. I'm totally hopeless, I'm helpless and hopeless. You take control, you too, you help me. That's one thought you can engage yourself. And the other thought that you can engage yourself is, you start making dua for the person, if he's a Muslim, right? And wrong thoughts about it, where he got this from. Just pulling a Ferrari, just to show off, no sorrow for that. Yeah, he's going for Hajj, why he's doing it? Just to show off. So you can see all those thoughts are running in your mind. When it's running in your mind, you make dua, he's going for Hajj. Put my share also in his Hajj. In his dua, let me be included in his dua. Allah, give him an accepted Hajj and dua and Umrah, but let me be included also in it. So why must you lose? Can't we just do this? Just a switch of words. In the switch of words, you just say, Allah, he's going, I make dua for him that he must be accepted in his dua, in his Hajj Umrah. Allah, give him ease in every step of the journey. But Allah, give him a maqbool Hajj and let me be included in the sawab of his Umrah Hajj. Have you gained or you lost? But to the contrary, if you thought, no, why is he going for Hajj, Umrah, why is he going for this holiday, why is he putting out this kaya, right? See, this person is all up for nonsense, just like you show or impress, he's living with the banks and all that. I ask you, are you filthing and soiling your heart, or are you improving your heart? What are you doing? First, you'll have doubts about the person, and at the second level, then you'll hallucinate. And then at a walima table, you talk against that person. So
I ask you, did you do any good? You haven't done any good.
One child wasn't feeling too well, you see. So they took him to one Qari Sahib. Qari Sahib read always a thing, whatever. Qul wallahu ahad, whatever. So the qiraat style, and blue in the child, nothing happening. He went to another one person, all average age, but his recitation is not good at all. And now the way he's reciting, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَهَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِيدْ, all upside down he's reading, right? And he had to just recite that one, two surahs, and he blew, and the child was recovered straight. So they asked the chacha now, but hey, what is the secret? He says, you see, usne apne jaban ke upar, he can't even talk well, apne jaban ke upar mehnat ki, aur maine apne kalab ke upar, can't even talk right. Usne apne jaban ke upar mehnat ki, aur maine apne kalab ke upar mehnat ki. He worked on his tongue, I worked on my heart. So this is the effect of the cleanness of the heart. Now, bhai, don't go and close your Qari class, please. This is just to show you the importance of cleaning the heart. Now, you take this A now, just close the Qari class, just have a clean heart only. Now, that's wrong. I'm impressing upon you the cleanliness, the need for the cleanliness of the heart. So, one answer I gave like this, that when this type of thoughts gang up in your mind, then this is how you divert. You don't answer, you don't attack. What you should be doing? Just divert. You make dua for that person. You make dua. I mean, my experience is about for half a minute, you forget it. Because the shaitan is getting worried now. Because when he's trying to attack you, you are improving his lot, improving your lot. Double. It's a double blow you're giving him. You're giving him a double blow. So he's getting worried. He's saying, I better, this is being very bad business. So let me just leave the person. So you just engage yourself in dua for that person. See, half a minute the thing is finished. The second thing I told this person, I asked that person, he was talking about doubts and all that. I asked him, you've been to matric, yeah, university, yeah. So I said, yeah, that's the reason why your mind is filled with this muck. Throughout the career, in all the 13 years of your school until your matriculation, and when you went to university, they're putting circular into your mind. Godlessness in your mind. They're teaching about Darwin, everything that's against Allah, they were teaching you. Now, ye so saal ka ram ram, nikalte nikalte hi niklega. This fruit that is in your mind that came through the school, university, etc., will not come out in one stroke. It'll have to come out from every vein of yours. Every vessel of yours. So it'll take time before all this thing is flushed out. So understand that you have got that filth in you. And slowly, slowly, the thing is going to get flushed out of your system. Because it was a long process to put all this filth into you. Now it's going to be a process again to get this flushed out of you. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. What you see is this Mawlana, right? I call him a chacha. But how beautiful. How beautiful. He loved people. And he understands I'm going to interact, meet up too many people, get involved in rebirth, this, that, and all that. So he says, oh, let me just be on my own, isolated. I won't hurt anybody. I'm going to show a good face. I won't fight, won't debate, won't do anything that is not needed, not required. Then he's telling me a second thing. See, it's, you keep your heart open and clean, there's a lot of things to learn. So he says, you know, before I was a fan of news. I must listen to this news, that radio, that internet and all that. Then about 2014 or 15, he says, hey, then something struck me. I had an encounter with someone. The person asked, you're looking at the news. He had to just tell me that, and I just dropped that habit. Now the chat is telling me now, you know, ever since I left that news, the amount of peace that I'm enjoying within my house is unimaginable. It's so peaceful. I feel like I'm in Jannat. You know, he was just short of saying, I feel like I'm in Jannat. I'm so peaceful. Wife, children, whoever else, you know, I'm so much in peace. I just left that out. I dropped it out. See? And we say our Jannat is having that phone in the house. with all the technology and all the feature, and until I didn't read the WhatsApp, you know, until then I can't go to sleep. See? So you're going to Jahannam with all this, you go to Jahannam the whole night to think, hey, what I read, what I saw, and why this happened, why didn't this happen. I need to Google this thing here, get this information out. See? So it was a Muslim's home that the child was encouraged to read the five kalimas before he sleeps. I read awwal kalima, doyam kalima. Although these words are not in the hadith, awwal kalima. But these wordings are in the hadith. La ilaha illa, isn't it in the hadith? Ashhadu an la ilaha illa, isn't it in the hadith? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, isn't it in the hadith? La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharik, isn't in the hadith? All in the hadith. Nearly every word that comes in that five kalimas is in the hadith. So before that, that was like a standard in the home. It was standard. But that's the last words as the child is sleeping, or the mother is sleeping, and this is what they're reading, and they're going to sleep, right? Now imagine you're looking at all this filth, and you get up in the morning with that filth. And if you don't get up for good then, and you've been listening, and listening, reading, trying to understand all that filth, in that state you died. You didn't get up for good then. So, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ. So the Buzugi says, that before I sleep, you know, every morning I recite these four verses. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ. And Allah Pak gives, nobody can stop. So can't we get this established in our mind? By Allah Pak, it was my taqdeer, I must get it. It wasn't, it won't come near me. Class, that story is closed. Otherwise, I'll just get go around in circles. You know, I did this. Had I not did this, then I wouldn't have got this. Had I not done this, then it will be a circle that you can't come out of. Just go in the circle. Because I did this, therefore I got this. Before, just end that thing up. See how the beauty of the belief of fate, taqdeer. It just puts a stop to everything. You make tawbah and istighfar for something, and then after that, have that faith in Allah Ta'ala, that Allah will forgive. And whatever happened now, there was fate, there was taqdeer, it happened, there's a past, let's cover it. I made tawbah, I tried to cover up for my mistake, and just bury it, forget that thing. But you know, go on thinking about that, going on, now that's shaitan that. You're going to carry on thinking, now you're getting into a depression. Hey, why are you putting money there? 50 million then, all gone. Everything went away. That's how you're going to think. You'll carry on thinking like that. And I ask you, can you ever reverse that situation? You can't reverse it. You're going to get locked up into that. I wasted my money in that investment. You know, I could have put in something else. I would have been a prosperous person, but I lost my money. But I ask you now, can you come out of that? You can't come out of it. So after you made istighfar, tawbah, begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's repentance, then you close the chapter and you continue. That was my taqdeer. Finish now. Let's start on. Let's carry on. Let's move on. It's not an end of life. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah will give you another chance. Imagine you did the, you incurred the loss, and thereafter you just died straight away. You didn't have a chance to continue, to repent, to rectify yourself. Then, so all the reason for you to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me another chance today, let me carry on. Isn't that a positive way? Isn't the way that we should be conducting ourselves? So he says the second verse, إِيَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ وَيُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِي. Okay, if Allah Ta'ala intends good for any person, nobody can turn it away. And if Allah Ta'ala wants wrong for someone, nobody can avert that also. يُسِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ فَضْلِي. He will grant what he wishes to whomever. Right. That means he's the control. He's the supreme control. That means your mind and your heart must be in him all the time. Not in anything. Not in this person here. Jack, Jill. No. Not anybody. And he is the supreme control. He'll give. But Allah Ghafoor Rahim, he likes to forgive. He likes to give. He's telling you, what he's telling you, I like to forgive. He's telling you, I like to show compassion and love. So beg of me, why don't you ask of me? Why are you going to this one here, that one there, and making 101 problems for yourself? So when I like to forgive, I like to grant, I like to show my kindness, then give, then ask of me, beg of me, implore me, I will make things happen for you. Is the maktab now. The apa was giving a lesson to the child, you see. The child the lesson was of the lesson of takdir. So the apa is explaining the child, you know what? If it's in your fate, it's in takdir, it's destiny, you will definitely eat that lukma, that morsel, you must eat it. And if it is not, you will never eat it. So the child now is quiet, he's not telling anything because of the ustad and the respect for the ustad of the apa. He's not saying anything. He comes home, the mother calls him to eat. Ma, I'm not going to eat today. Not going to eat at all. Why? You know, that apa taught us that if it's not in your takdir, you will not eat. So I want to see, and if it's in your takdir, you will have to eat. The apa taught us, if it's in your takdir, you will have to eat. So I'm going to see, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to see how you're going to force me to eat. See, you don't challenge Allah Ta'ala, but there is a child 10 years old or age. So apa told us what? If it is in your takdir, you will have to eat. You can't avoid it. It will come to you, it will come to you by force, like how that Cassius Clay story, you know. It will come to you, it will come to you by force. Whether you like it or not, it will come to you. So that child is adamant, I'm not going to eat. Now the mother made a nice pot of biryani, put additional zafran and all that smell and the aroma. And that thing is going throughout the house. But the child said, he's stubborn, he's hard on his guns. I said, I'm not going to eat, I'm going to see how you're going to force me to eat this food. Mother is begging him, harassing him now. Mother is mother, obviously. My child, Maro Dikroche, he must eat. Why isn't he eating? Now, the child got frustrated with his mother now, so he said, hey, let me get out of the house. He went out, I go to an isolated spot. So the most isolated spot he found was near the Kabristan. So nobody will come there, nobody. People are afraid. At night, maybe some spook will come out that side. Right. What you're not supposed to be afraid of, that's what you're afraid of. Dead, if the lion is dead, is it to be afraid? Yeah, if it's alive, then you're supposed to be afraid. But if it's dead, then it's something to be afraid about. Not to be afraid about. So strangely, the Kabristan everybody is afraid about. So I'll go to that most isolated spot and nobody will trouble me. Now mother is following his steps and all that. And very discreetly, quietly, near him she put that biryani. Near somewhere, he lied down, so she put that biryani near him. Okay, Maro Dikroche is my darling. If he gets up at some part of the night, and I won't be there, but he'll be starving, he'll eat, because there's nobody, as though he didn't break his vow. He took a vow, he's not going to eat. But there's nobody there, he'll feel as though he didn't break his vow. Now Allah Ta'ala willed that some robbers thought of attacking the town. Now they thought to themselves that we should be taking the most isolated path into the town. Now as they approaching the town, they found that isolated path near the Kabristan. And strangely they found a beautiful pot of biryani, nice. As it is, they are hungry, starving now. Because they are going to attack at about 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. So they saw this biryani. Then they're looking around, they saw this youngster, they say, hey, no man, this is a plan. This youngster or someone, they planned it out. That they knew, somehow they got the news through the Google that we're coming to attack, right? So they planned it out, they put this child here and they put a pot of biryani there, right? Right. So when they will get that smell of the biryani, they will eat of it. And you like it or not, you believe it or not, there must be some poison in this thing here. And therefore they planted it like this here. At this spot they planted it because they got the information, they were already tipped off that we're coming to steal. So they were tipped off, so they put this biryani here, and definitely it is to poison and kill us. But that thing was so enticing. So again, we can't resist this thing, man, we can't do it. So he says, now we got this child here, what we'll do? We'll get him up and let him eat of it. If he dies, well, we know that's poison. He ate it, he died, right? Not our fault. But if he pulls through, then we know we can't lose this thing. Nice big fort now. So they got the child, right? Eat of this. So, no, I'm not eating. Again, one tamacha. One shot again. Eat of this. He's not eating. Now they're getting more convinced that it's poison. The child knows about it. Therefore, he's not eating. Eat of it. Now they gave one good tight smack. So now you're eating. So, or you eat from this side here.
Because maybe the poison was from this end here. Eat from that end. Eat from... Now see, nothing is happening to this child. It's becoming even brighter. They finished the whole thing up. Now straight away he took a U-turn. Ma, I learned that sabak the hard way. I learned the sabak, but I learned it the hard way. That what is yours will definitely come. It can't avoid you. Iyam says, Kallahu bi durrin fala kashifa. Something by, tumhara kaam hai, wo kar lo. Your heart is, get the heart right. I don't say don't work. Work moderately, but the greater duty, the greater mission, the greater obligation is keep your heart clean all the time, at any given time. Yahdillahu li nuri man yasha. Allah Pak guides the heart. But the heart must be good for Allah Ta'ala to guide it. But the heart is all polluted, evil, filthy. I ask you, you got a bottle, right? And you got excreta in that thing. Will you put milk into it? So how you want Allah Ta'ala to put his nur into your heart when there's so much of filth in the heart? Get that thing right. And the corruption and the perversion, one is the wrong beliefs, and number two is the wrong thoughts about people. One is your beliefs, your wrong confusion in your beliefs, and sometimes it's malice, etc., temptation, wrong things in your heart. So cleanse your heart of this temptation, wrong thoughts about people, malice, and this corruption. And now you see what a beautiful heart it will be. Now it's pure for Allah Ta'ala. Now you have spaced it out for the nur of Allah Ta'ala just to descend there. Yahdillahu li nurihi man yasha. That's why I say, there's so much that you can learn from life. But have a clean heart, be good to people, no matter what he is and who he is, but you be good. You don't know what you can learn from that person. You know, I think it must have been about 10 years ago, there was a black man coming here, maybe about 70, 72 years of age. New Muslim, I want to learn. 10, 12 years ago now. Think to myself, hey, you know, we got all children here, and this is a man 70 years of age. I know the children, what they're up to. They'll tease him, they'll tell him something, whatever, right? So, we asked Timber to take this. When our sale become redundant, we said that sale. Buffer, we couldn't handle that. So now, they saw that this man's moustache was overgrown a little bit, right? But now, they didn't mention it to him. So by the fourth day or the fifth day that he was there, perhaps, he understood that the overgrowing of the moustache is not right. Now on their side, they said, oh, he's an elderly man, he's a kulu. They say, Zulu, I think they call kulu, eh? Kulu now, so gracefully we have to tell him, because he's aged, so we have to break the news to him, but slowly, gradually, in stages. We can't just tell him everything one time. Out of respect, they are saying, oh, we'll tell him, but installments, slowly we'll break it to him. Now after a week or so, he got to know that keeping a moustache was wrong. So that man got angry with him. He said, you knew it was wrong. Why didn't you stop me in the first place? You see that? So I say there's a lot of things that we can learn in life, but it is just to keep our minds open and clean. And how much... Now what a good heart that man had. So you guys knew about it, that it's not right for me to overgrow the moustache. But why didn't you tell me? Why did you allow me to live in sin for this 1 week? Now they were trying to do good. So no, right, we need to give it to him in installments. But now, what level of iman this man must have come with to say this type of thing, you know, why did you allow me to live in sin for 1 week? See? So this Amir ibn Qais, rahimahullah, he says, the third verse that I recite every day, every morning, I say I read these four verses, but then after I'm not concerned, whatever happens. I do my work, everything what I'm supposed to be doing, I do. But I'm not concerned. After there's no anxiety, no worry, no concern that overcomes my mind. So what is the third verse? The third verse is, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرِ يُسْرًا. You're going through a small phase of difficulty. Don't worry. After the difficulty, there'll be some ease. Allah will make it easy. So, you have to go through some trial, some difficulty, but after the difficulty, there'll be a lot of ease. Now, the life in this world is styled like that, it is designed like that, that you will find some ease after the difficulty. Right?
And in fact, that ease that you get after the difficulty is appreciated. It's enjoyed. So, hey, I worked for it, man. Hey, mashallah, I worked for it. And see what Allah has rewarded me. Hey, I invested my 2 million in this. See the returns. But wasn't it difficult for you to part with the 2 million? It was difficult. But after that, when you saw the returns, you forget all the difficulty that you went through. Doesn't it happen? So after that phase of difficulty, that phase of difficulty is always followed by ease. See? Phase of difficulty with ease, right? Doesn't it happen? You worked so hard, Eventually you became an engineer. Now when you saw that ease, then you say, hey, I worked for it, man. See what I got. But I tell you, by the same token, to leave out work, etc., to leave out work, even though it is a permissible nature, is not the right thing for most people. Yes, if you are Rabia Basriya, then I tell you, leave work, it's alright. Because she was doing 1,000 rakats every day. You'll manage. You can't manage, then don't imitate her. But she had a program to perform 1,000 rakats every day. So when you're not at her level, then don't say I leave out work. Do some work of a permissible nature, because the work of a permissible nature will be a fortress, a castle against wrong. Doing something. There will be dual benefits that I can see. In fact, three benefits. One is, you're doing something permissible, it guards you from wrong. Right? Number two, you're doing something permissible, it guards you from depression. Doesn't it guard you? Otherwise you'll think, alright, you know, tomorrow, what must I do? You say, no. If you got nothing to live for, absolutely no stress whatsoever, absolutely no stress, no concern, no figure at all, then that's a recipe for destruction. Physical, spiritual, and mental. Because, I say spiritual, how it will destroy you? Destroy like this. If there's no stress, absolutely nothing that is suspended on your mind, then will you be concerned about Fajr Namaz? There's no stress. Will you be concerned about Tahajjud Namaz? Will you be concerned about your Ishraq Namaz? Will you be concerned about reciting and preserving your Quran Sharif? Will you be concerned about completing your Zikr, Munajat and Maqbool, Hizbullah, and all that? Will you be concerned? Absolutely no concern. So it's a spiritual disaster. It's a mental and a physical disaster as well. Because you think, how must I complete my day? Now you've got something lingering, something suspended. Yeah, I need to do this, I need to do the third thing, fourth thing, fifth thing. So your whole day is complete. Now you're going to rest, you're resting at ease. See? Because you had a complete day. And you didn't have a complete day, you can't even rest. Nothing. What do I do? What must I live for? So the work also is a blessing. Although it looks difficult, but really it turns out to be a blessing. Number three, it makes you feel positive in life. Now, imagine now you got nothing, no worry, no stress, absolutely nothing. They say, I'm redundant now, I am past the expiry date. So what am I? See? So Allah Pak says, Sayyajallahu ba'da usri yusra. After that phase of difficulty, there'll be ease. So the difficulty will be followed by ease. Difficulty will be followed by ease. So don't panic. If you're going through some trials, some difficulties, whatever, there's no need to be panicky. After the difficulty will come ease. There will become ease. Now, why Allah Pak designed it? Allah Pak knows. You don't get too worried about that. Don't get consumed. سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. See, I'm mentioning this again for the second time, that if any, you came to a difficulty, right, or any wrong, whatever it was, now you made Tawbah, try to rectify it to the best of your ability. Now don't deliberately think about that. You may think I'm doing a service to myself. Hazrat Hamza used to say that this is not a service, this is a disservice you're doing to yourself. So I wanted to know from Hazrat Hamza, why is it that it's a disservice? I'm thinking about my wrong, so it'll make me feel a little bit down. Won't that be a good thing? So Hazrat says, no, that's going to be a disaster. But I want to know why Hazrat was saying that this is a disaster. So he gave the reason why this will be a disaster. You made Tawbah, you tried to rectify to the best of your ability, now let it be passed. So he says, because you've been born for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. What he says? What have you been born for? What he created you? To remember Him. Did He make you to remember your sins? He made you to remember Him. Now, whatever wrong has happened, you made tuba, you corrected yourself, you tried. And now you're going to keep reminiscing the sin. There's going to be one of two possibilities. Either there will be a relapse of falling sin again, or it will take you to despondency. And when you go into either one of the two, relapse or despondency, I ask you, in whose court you're playing? You're playing in the court of Shaitan. So why has he made you? He has made you for himself. Not for you to remember your past and your gunas, etc. See that? See the Buzurai, how they think. Isn't that superb thinking? How beautiful that thinking is. See the need of being with them. Associate. I don't say now, be with them like a tail now. But be with them, sit with them once a day, once in 2 weeks, once in a week. But carry on associating. Right? We can't be perfect, but we the broken third class. Inshallah, we're tagging along. Maybe inshallah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, wherever they reach, our broken coaches also will reach the same place. Whichever way, little shay'um min ad-dulja, a little bit at night, a little bit in the morning, something here, something there, some zikr, some tasbihat, some Quran Sharif, but you're trying to cover up, trying to make it. So one day you reach inshallah. So this difficulty is also a grace. Although it looks like difficulty, but it's a blessing. It's not an azab. Remember, it's not a punishment. It is a grace, but just that for you it seems as though it's a problem. So the ease that Allah Pak says, but this will be followed by ease. This difficulty will definitely be followed by ease. Right. The last verse, it says that I recite this, Amir ibn Qais, I recite this verse, and then I'm not worried what happens for the rest of the day. And that verse is, مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That Allah Pak has taken the onus, the responsibility of rozi. Any creature in the very recess of a concealed rock, if there is a creature there, Allah Pak will provide it. If the creature is in the heavens, Allah Pak will provide for it. Anywhere, imma fil ardi wa imma fis sama, wherever, but Allah Pak, whatever is decreed at which moment for which creature, Allah Pak will see that the thing will reach. I ask you, there are more creations. How many creations that really work for a living and store up and pile up? How many creations? It's only one insan. They store up and they work and they leave something, right? Doesn't it happen? Besides the humanity, maybe one, two creatures, maybe an ant you'll hear of, it's got something in its hole. Maybe you could hear of a honeybee, it keeps its hive, right? But besides that, do you hear of any animal and creature that stores up and piles up? But does it stress? Does it stress? No stress is good. It's a robber of a jamaat, you know. At that time, there was a lot of highway robbery. So it's a robber. So they had to stop over at one spot. So the leader of this whole gang, he's watching. See, I say life is a big, big teacher. But keep your minds open. Keep your hearts clean. Keep your hearts clean, keep your minds open and learn. So he's resting, the tree there, he's resting. So anyway, in this whole process, he sees there's a blind snake that's at the top of the tree. And then he sees, as he's watching now, this blind snake now, it seems to be so fresh, so strong, and so well built, but just that it's blind, you can see it's blind. So how does it sustain life? And he says, to his utter surprise, then he sees one bird taking one date from the other tree, and this thing makes some noise, that thing opens its mouth, and it goes down. Going again, break the date, makes a noise here, and this thing opens up its mouth, and the voice breaks. So when he saw this, it ate about 100 or some odd dates, it satiated, it said, enough now, khalas. So this robber of this jamaat, he couldn't hold his tears, crying. He says, he turns his face towards the heavens. Oh Allah Ta'ala, this is a snake. Your Nabi has asked us to kill this thing, right? And yet you are providing for this thing. in a circumstance where it was like, you know, impossible, in an impossible situation you are taking care of it, then definitely you take care of me as well. This thing here, in such a disabled condition, you are still made the arrangements for its rosy, that I'm an insan, I've got understanding, I've got brains, then won't you take care of me? There and then, they broke all the weapons, whatever they had, they were using at that time. They broke everything. They changed their lives. Now, as they're crossing from one town to the next town, so they pulled into an inn or whatever it was, so one old woman comes in. And the old woman, she's calling out, I want this person here, I want to see this person here, I want to see this person. What business you've got with us? She says, you know, I saw in my dream, so and so, I don't know if it was Nabi Sam or whoever, I saw so and so, in my dream, they are supposed to be at this place this morning, and I've been instructed to feed them, and I am widowed, so the husband, my husband, late, he has made a bequest of one third, and one third must be going to these people here. See that? When they were sincere, they were good at heart. See, I'm saying, repeating, I'm telling you, by be good at heart. Forget the past, be good at heart, clean the mind, clean the heart, don't worry about people. See, malice people and confuse, corrupt thoughts is with Allah Ta'ala. So against people also don't have malice, and with Allah Ta'ala also don't start up a fight. Don't start a fight with Allah Ta'ala, and don't you have malice with people, keep a clean heart, open mind, and see how Allah Ta'ala's blessing will just pour. I say work averagely, moderately, you don't have to break mountains. Work moderately, work averagely, and work also is a blessing, is not a punishment. I just prove it to you that work is a blessing. You look forward to the day, you look forward to the next day. There's something that you have to, you are striving towards, you feel nice and fulfilled. Otherwise, life becomes too boring, becomes unmanageable, becomes too difficult, right? Now you got some goals to work towards, and you feel that there's a meaning to life. Doesn't it happen? So this Buzur says that I read these four verses, and after that I'm not concerned as to what happens to me for the rest of the day. But how beautiful these verses are. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he's the Amir, right? Amir al-Mu'minin. In his zamana, he writes a letter to one of his people that are working under him as a governor. It's like you're running a big estate, so you need to post people at different points, like how you got 10 shops, right? So you can't be running 10 shops all by yourself. You are at the main office, then you got someone to look after your branches, right? So similarly, now you're running a big state, so you are the center, and at different points you have positioned your amils, governors. So he wrote up to his one governor, Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, that I want to hear something from you that you heard directly from Islam, not indirectly, directly what you learned from Islam. I want to hear about something. So he said, yes. After the namaz, Nabi Sam would recite, Allahumma la mani alima a'tait, wa la mu'ti alima manat, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi min kal jadd. Allah, what you give, nobody can stop. And what you stop, nobody can give. And nobody's effort can go against your decree. What you decide, nobody's effort, no matter how hard he works, it can't work against your decree and your decision. Again, the same dua, one is after namaz, right? And one, the same dua is recited again at the qawma, right? But just with this additional word, أَحَقُّ مَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ وَكُلُّنَا لَكَعْبْدُ لَا مَانِ عَلِمَا أَعْطَيْتُ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتُ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. By, you can by heart the name of the president of America. Up to now I can't get the name right. When I think of the name, I think of a duck. Hey, where my mind is going on? What is this? I can't just be by heart. By Rasulullah Pasam, he's Sahaba-i Kiram, and his words, why don't you give it a space in your mind? You feel so belittled and humiliated that you don't know the Prime Minister of America. But why? If he dies as a kafir, as he is, please just start for Jahannam. You'll never want to swap with him. So why do you show the interest and respect to him? Why do you show the interest? And if you don't know, you're living in the dark ages. But I see you're living in the dark ages. If you know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what's darker than that? If you know, you don't know your own Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is there any light in your life? Absolute darkness you are in. Compounded darkness. So learn what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Give your heart and give your mind some time. Alright, I need to learn this. When Mulana was saying, that he went to Mr. Didat, you know. And I think it's for 1-2 years before he could pass away. Advanced age, maybe around 80 or something, or over 80. So Didat is telling him, so this is Mulana is coming up now, so he needs to give him an encouragement. He says, see, I'm this age, but my work is to debate, etc., right? Comparative religion. For my work, right, I need to have some Quranic verses. So I got a Quranic verse with the translation, and I got it on my top pocket. You know, you should wear a coat, I don't know if you remember, to wear a coat, right? So I got it on the top pocket here. I read this verse even 1,000 times, but I'll memorize it with the translation. But what you ought to do, you have to work for it. You know, what's your life ambition? You have given yourself for a certain thing, so you'll have to work for it. Similarly, you want to give yourself for the beautiful sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then can't you strive a little bit? I tell the students, so simple, you've got a long dua, and you want to memorize it. A simple procedure is, you write it out, or get your son or someone to write it out, and keep that dua pasted at prominent positions. Maybe at your bedside, maybe at your workplace, maybe in your car, right? So, you are coming to sleep at night, you got it there, you're reading once, right? You're going into your car, you're reading it once. At your office, you're reading it once, right? Right? Maybe in your Quran Sharif, where you're going to recite, you got it there once, right? So you read it every day about 4 or 5 times. You can't say that in a month you can't memorize it. But this beautiful masnoon du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it will be very much effective if you do it understanding. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Allah Ta'ala, put affection in our hearts, in the hearts of our Muslims. Alif bayna qulubina. But you're reading with that meaning. A dua is not read, it is begged. What? We think a real dua is just read. It's not read. It's supposed to be begged from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make it happen. Put affection, Allahumma. See how beautiful is dua. Mu'allif bayna qulubina. So, if you are reading the dua with that frame of mind, you are begging Allah ta'ala, with the frame of mind, you understand what you are asking for, won't it give some meaning? Won't it have some pleasure? Won't you want to do it again? Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Allahumma alif bayna. Why it happened? Wa aslih dhata baynina. Wahdina subul as-salam. Allah pak tawfiq nasib kare.